Welcome to Alive Experience, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal teaches the Word of God with accuracy and power, always leaving his audience empowered, challenged, and ready for change. As you listen, get ready to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Let us pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word that is coming right now with power. Thank you that your word is lifting us up. Thank you, Father. We shall never remain the same by your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take all the glory this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Before you take your seat, tell your neighbor, I can rise.
I will rise.
In fact, I'm rising. Put your hands together for Jesus. You can be seated. Last week, we started this heavy subject. The subject of rising. Becoming, achieving, succeeding. One mirror asks, rise where? Going where? I can rise to where? Well, you can rise above poverty. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, you don't need to die as a poor man. I know you grew up in that environment. I know that is all you've known from the day you came to this world, for some of us. I know that is what you see every day. But the good news this morning is that you can rise.
Amen.
And I like the fact that I'm not saying we can rise. Because I don't think, and I'm not sure that everybody wants to rise, even though I said it. You see, with time you realize that not everybody is interested in certain things. But I'm just making you aware that you can rise. It doesn't have to end the way it is right now. I can rise above what? Well, you can rise above sickness.
Amen.
You can rise above disease. You can rise above that negative attitude that is rotting and spoiling your life. It has destroyed all your relationships. You can rise above those negative thoughts that keep imprisoning you every day. You can rise above that sin that you haven't told anybody about. I know when you come to church, you behave yourself. But when you get home, there is just this thing that is causing you to go down. And you've learned to live with it. You've learned to accommodate it. And you've probably told yourself, I think this is how my Christian life is always going to be. No. You can rise.
Amen.
You can rise above defeat.
Amen.
You can rise above failure. I know you failed your driver's license the way I did. I failed it twice. I can't remember whether twice or thrice. I tell you, after I failed it the second time, I gave up. I really felt this was it. I will get it in another country, not in South Africa. You know, we have a way of comforting ourselves. I will get it somewhere else. I think God has another plan. God has another plan. As I stand before you, I have a driver's license in South Africa. I rose above that thing by God's help. You can rise above loneliness. Always being alone and asking yourself, will I ever have somebody? I know exactly that feeling because I used to ask myself, will somebody ever love me? Will I ever find somebody who cares about me? All my life is going to end like this. A lonely man. Do you know that you can rise above that? You can rise above joblessness. And I want you to stop saying you are jobless, because you are not jobless. The only reason why you are thinking that you are jobless is because you are only looking at a certain type of job. There is no jobless human being. People have just chosen that if I don't get this job, then I'm jobless. But there's nothing like that. There are jobs all around you. There are jobs all around you. God himself has so much job for you to do that in your whole life you will never finish the job that God has for you to do. But people have accepted the tag that the world has placed on them. You are jobless. I am not jobless. And you shouldn't see yourself as a jobless person. That's why you are sitting at home. You are sitting waiting for a call because you say you are jobless. Yet there is plenty jobs around you. When you accept joblessness, you become indeed jobless. You say, I'm not jobless. I might not have that job, but there are other jobs that I can do in the meantime. You can rise above those things. That's why the Lord has sent this series. This series will be very practical. This series, again like the other ones, might make you uncomfortable. That all we are trying to do with God's grace is to afford you an opportunity to not waste your life on earth. Please, whatever you do, don't waste your life on earth. Last week, I started showing you that only God can make people rise. We saw that last week. And we started seeing the cost involved in you rising. And we saw that there was a spiritual cost involved in people rising. And this morning, like I promised you last week, this morning I'm trusting God to give you the tools you need to, you know, provoke the hand of God to lift you. Because even though God can make you rise, and even though God makes people rise, God doesn't make everybody rise. David says, but you, O Lord, are my shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. May God not just be your savior, may he also be the lifter of your head. Do you realize that God is interested in your head not being down the way it's been? You always go with your head down. What is the image of the head down? It's defeat. Things are not going well. My head is down. So David discovered that God was interested in lifting up his head. And I believe God is interested in lifting up your head. God wants you to lift up your head, to walk tall, to walk victorious. That's what he wants. That might not yet be the experience, but that is going to become the experience. As you continue moving with us, you will see your head lifting itself. You will never be the same person. God is going to lift up your head. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say with me, God is the lifter of my head.
God is the lifter of my head.
Hallelujah. Amen. We started with the spiritual cost because life is spiritual. This is something huge, and a lot of people are not aware of it. The reason we invest so much in education, because you think education can change your life. And it does to some degree. Other people think business can change their life. Other people think good dietary system can change their life. You know, people are not aware that life is spiritual. That's why they invest in everything except their spirit. James chapter 2 verse 26, the Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The body without the spirit. You see, the body is what you see. You can't see the spirit. But the Bible says a body without the spirit is dead. So what causes, what is more important? Is it the body or the spirit? Because we see the body and we are very much enchanted by the bodies. Yet the Bible is telling you the thing that causes that body to exist is the spirit. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Never be bothered by how things look on the outside. The way they look on the outside is controlled by something you don't see. You can see the body, but you can't see the spirit inside the body. Yet, without the spirit inside the body, you will not see the body. Can I submit to you, without a spirit inside that problem, you will not see that problem. Can I submit to you, without a spirit inside that difficulty, there will not be a difficulty. The reason why there is a difficulty in your life, there is a spirit inside the problem. And you are spending your time trying to fix the problem, not knowing that the problem you can see is a body. It's a body of problem. It's a body of issues. But that body of issues is controlled by spirits you cannot see. And for you to stop the body of issues, you need to remove the spirit behind. Because the spirit, the body without the spirit is dead. The moment you kill the spirit behind the problem dies. John 6, verse 63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus is speaking, says the flesh profits nothing, nothing. Stop wasting your time on the flesh. Stop wasting your time on what you can see. The thing that gives that thing you can see life is the spirit, the thing you can't see. Life is spiritual. Habakkuk 2, 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Not by his education, not by his training, by his faith, something spiritual. Romans chapter 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded is life. So spirituality controls life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Life is spiritual. So if your life is going to rise, listen to me. I know some of you are thinking, no, I think I need to do more courses. I think I need to do more this. I think I need to contact this person. I think I need to. You are having all these ideas. But I came to tell you that the first thing that you must settle is the spiritual dimension. The spiritual dimension controls your life. Now, you know, I want to tell you something this morning. And I'm going to try to be as honest as possible. Because, you know, we are getting tired of these plastic preachings. We need to be real. The reality, people of God, is that many faithful, committed, well-meaning Christians are unable to rise in life. They love God. They're worshiping the church every Sunday. Are you listening to me? They even try to live holy lives. But for some reasons, things don't just come together. You see, we need to speak this truth. We need to accept that something, somewhere, somehow is wrong between what the pastor preaches and what I'm living on a daily basis. There seems to be a mischief somewhere there. There's one connection that is missing. When I read my Bible, I see what God is saying. I see what people have. I see what Paul did. I see what happened with this one. But when I look at my life, it's so different. I don't know whether I'm the only person that has gone through stuff like this, or there are also other people out there that will agree with me that many times what I'm living as an experience is so composedly, it's so different from what the preacher is saying on Sunday morning. And I always try to apply what the preacher is saying, but I still don't get it right. My life still seems to be on the same spot. After I've tried to pray, after I've tried to do this, after I've tried to do that, nothing seems to really move. What does it take for me to rise then? You are not the first person. I'm going to give you a key this morning, which I hope by God's grace will help you.
Amen.
That you will start rising.
Amen.
You will come out of confusion. You will come out of obscurity by God's grace.
Amen.
Come with me to the book of Luke 13 from verse 10. The Bible says on the Sabbath, meaning on a Sunday. The Sabbath is Saturday according to the Jewish calendar, but the Sabbath is what we today consider Sunday, because Sunday is our Sabbath today. So on Sunday, if I can put it that way, if you can allow me, Jesus was teaching in the synagogues. In other words, if you also have to now change synagogue with what it is today, you say on Sunday morning, Pastor Jesus was teaching in the church. Reverend Jesus, Prophet Jesus, Apostle Jesus, Bishop Jesus was teaching in the church. A Sunday morning, the choir has sung. We have taken the offerings. We have celebrated. Now it's time for the word. And the man of God has stepped on stage and he is articulating it. The Bible says, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. I want you to please read your Bible. A woman was there that Sunday morning. The praise and worship songs did not chase the spirit. The spirit was still there. How do we know that she was still crippled when Jesus turned on stage to start preaching? The Bible says she had been crippled by a spirit. It's very important to know where the source came from, because I'm sure she went to the hospital and they gave her a medical explanation to this problem. And I'm sure she went to a psychologist and the psychologist also gave her a psychological explanation to the problem. But nobody told her there's a spirit behind this thing. And this is a committed Christian lady. This is Sister Sifania. Sister Sifania loves Jesus. She loves the church. She comes every Sunday morning and she worships with the church. She prays God with everybody. But Sister Sifania is crippled by a spirit. And the Bible says, and she had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. 18 years. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to lie to you. I have seen these things happen in the church far too many times. You see somebody who loves God, they worship God, but they are poor. Not for a month, for years. Doesn't change. You see a sister, she tries her best to live for God, to follow God. She reads her Bible, she quotes scriptures, she's involved in the ushering team, she does whatever she can do. But for years, hoping to hear somebody say, "Would you marry me?" Never happens. Every time that she comes, hoping that maybe this Sunday, somebody will see me. And she goes home and nothing has happened. For years, she was crippled. For years, she kept coming to church. Yet she is crippled. The Bible says she was bended over and could not straighten up at all. Do you know what is going on? This lady was bending like this. I don't know whether the camera can show you what I'm doing. Bending like this. She walks like this. Everything she does is like this. You know, many of us look like we are straightened up. But if you see yourself in the spirit, if you see yourself in your finances, you are bended. If you see yourself in your social life, you are bended. If you see yourself in your success, you are bended. So many areas are bended over and you cannot straighten up. And you don't, not that she didn't want to straighten up, she could not straighten up. She wanted to straighten up, but she cannot. Why? Because she is in that position by a spirit. And she's a child of God. She loves Jesus. She is listening to his sermon. He is preaching the word. And as she is sitting there, something is crippling her life and nothing is changing it. How many times have we seen people crippled like that until they die? And we explain it to say, no, the Lord had other plans, you know. You know, God had something in mind. We try to explain demonic activity. We try to give an explanation to the work of demons. Many people that are watching me this morning are crippled in many areas of their lives. They love God. But when you look at their lives are not moving. They are crippled. Something has just crippled them. I came to tell you, by the Spirit of God, you're going to rise up from that position in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to rise up from there. She couldn't straighten up. She couldn't straighten up. She couldn't straighten up. She couldn't straighten up. Couldn't straighten up. What is surprising is that she was in the church. And I will understand if this is somebody that doesn't go to church. They're having demons, and I understand. But she's in the church. She's probably in the choir. But she can't straighten up. She's bended over. Many people are bended over in all kinds of sin. They can't straighten up. They come to church hoping that every day, maybe today will be my deliverance. They are bended over with addictions. They can't straighten up. This morning, by the Spirit of God, let something break in your life. Amen. Some families are bended over. Like the family can never rise above a certain level. We already know it in this family. Nobody will ever reach this level. And we have accepted it. The reason I'm teaching about this is because I want somebody to believe that maybe it will start with you. You will be the first person in that whole family to say enough is enough. How about we reach a new level? How about we break this barrier? How about we rise above this? How about we start doing this? Amen. How about this starts happening here? We have all accepted what is going on. I was born into this, and it seems like this is what it's going to be. I go to church. I love Jesus. I pray. I worship. I do everything. I even pay my tithe. But it seems like this is going to be my lot in life. It will never change. Many of you are renting. With loving Jesus the way you love Jesus, you've been renting. Because in this family, nobody can own land. In this family, nobody can build a house. You are renting. Every day you are renting. You've been renting. Your father rented. Your great-grandfather rented. Everybody is renting. Some of you watching me this morning, nobody has owned a car in your family. Nobody has ever owned a car. Nobody has ever driven a brand new car. If they own it, it's a second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand car. Nobody has risen above any level. We have accepted it, and we don't even see a problem with it anymore. It has become normal. It's like, this is what it is. It is so normal. I think this lady had accepted that this is what my life is going to be. After 18 years, I think you learn to accommodate the oppression. You learn to find a way, maybe you find a stick, you find something to just balance yourself around. So she was no more coming to church for healing. I hope you understand what I'm saying. She was no more coming to church to find help in that area. It was over. She had accepted, and probably a crazy preacher told her, "My sister, God has bended you to humble you. And when he is willing, he will lift you up again." And we accept it. And we make it normal. We make it our lives. Many believers who love Jesus, but they can't rise. They can't rise. You hear, he loved Jesus. He went for a camp meeting. On his way back, car accident, dead. God forbid. There are sisters. A guy will even approach her and show interest. Before he can make the step he's supposed to make, something comes from nowhere and messes up the whole thing. She's back to square one. There are brothers. He will present the CV. People will even show interest. There's no, you know, this is what we are looking for. This is exactly like you are the person we are looking for. Man, I don't know where you've been hiding yourself. Wow, this is great. Please go and wait for us. You will certainly hear from us. And that's the last time you hear from them. That's the last time you hear from them. They never call you again. You are always checking your phone. You wake up in the morning, you check your phone. In the night, in the midnight, you check. No call. It goes dead and quiet. What is going on? How come nobody is calling? How come nobody is texting? How come nothing is happening? She was bended over, and a spirit was supervising that position to ensure this never changes. You can go to church all you want. You can sing songs all you want. But as far as this area of your life is concerned, you will never rise. Life is spiritual, people of God. Understand that there are spirits that are controlling and monitoring these things. And many of you have learned to live with it. You have accepted it. Yeah, you have accepted it. Money disappears in the house and nobody knows what happened. People work, it's as if they don't work. Yeah. There are some of you, you know people that work for the government. But when you come and see where they stay, you ask yourself, is this witchcraft? What is going on? Don't tell me you've never asked yourself that question. Don't tell me you've never asked yourself, but the preacher said this will happen. Why is that? Why hasn't it happened yet? Until when? Funny enough, many wait like that until they die. This was going to be the story of this woman, you know. After 18 years, if it doesn't happen, when will it happen? The Bible says Jesus saw her. The Word saw her. May Jesus see you this morning. Do you understand there were people in that church? He saw her. She never called him. There are people who call Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. I told you about Bartimaeus last week. This woman never said a word. Because, you know, oppression can take you to a place where you become quiet. Bartimaeus, people were still trying to shut him up. But after a while, you shut up. 18 years, she shut up. She shut up. In that her quietness, as she's just sitting there, waiting for the service to end, so she can go home as usual. And hope that next week she'll come again and, you know, just become rituals. We are into rituals these days. Without power, nothing is changing. We sing songs, we change songs, we change things, we change clothes, but the situation remains the same. Jesus saw her. He called her forward. Like maybe she was sitting at the back. He says, you, come. I like Jesus. Jesus never lets you be in the place you are. And Jesus barely comes where you are. He calls you from there. Even though he hasn't healed you, that he knows there's something in you that can take a step. There's something you can do, even if you don't have everything. Bartimaeus, he says, call him. A blind man, he said, call him. This woman is bended over, she is crippled by a spirit, and Jesus can see the spirit. But Jesus said, come forward. Do you know that no matter how oppressed you are right now, there is something you can still do. Amen. There is something you can still achieve. Amen. You can rise. Amen. Say with me, I can rise. Amen. I will rise. Amen. I am rising. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. He called her and said to her, woman, you are free from your infirmity. Oh my God, you are free. I came as a mouthpiece of Jesus to tell somebody watching me this morning, woman, man, you are free from your infirmity. The power of God is going to raise you from that thing. You are free from it. I say you are free from it. The Bible says, then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up. She was touched by the word. When the word touches you, you see, I'm not talking about people that are playing church. A lot of them these days, playing church, dying their issues. They come to church, but they don't allow the word to touch them. They protect themselves against the word. Jesus is the word, and Jesus touched her. Has Jesus touched you? Or you find an explanation to everything the pastor is saying? Or you find your own arguments to the things I'm sharing here? Have you allowed the word to touch you? When the word has touched you, you change. The Bible says she straightened up. If you haven't changed, could it be the word hasn't touched you? The word hasn't touched you. The word must touch you this month. Amen. Something must shift in your life this month, my brother. Amen. It cannot remain the way it is. You see, but I ask myself this question. What gives Satan such power that people accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? They are worshiping Jesus in the church. They are serving God. Still, Satan is oppressing them. How does he do it? Have you asked yourself that question? How does he manage to cripple a God worshiper for 18 years? How do you manage to stop a preacher? I spoke to you guys one time about a pastor that I knew in my country. His name was Yanga. Yanga means there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Such a name. The man grew up, accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, got married at an old age, could only have one son. Worked so hard, accumulated a few things. He named his son, like himself, Yanga. There's nothing there. A pastor preaching the word, that man will preach, I will be vibrating like this. I was there when he came, his son came to ask for my niece's hand in marriage. We were so excited because this is the son of a pastor finding an interest in our family. Like witchcraft, my niece refused. And my niece went and ended up in a man worse than that man. I was there the day they came to announce to us. This young man was on a camp meeting on his way back. Car accident. He's dead. The father and the mother are now old. Their only hope was that boy. He's dead. I attended the funeral. I saw how the face of that pastor changed. Brothers and sisters, it wasn't long. I don't think it lasted 3 months. He died. And not long after that, his wife, that couldn't bear the loss of her only son, and her husband also died. And the prophecy was fulfilled. There's nothing there. I want to ask you a question. How can it be that a pastor who loves God, who serves God, falls into something like this? You think I'm here this morning to joke? No. I told you that no plastic preaching now. Let's be real. What's going on? 18 years in the church, and you haven't changed level. I want to give you three reasons, three doors that Satan has to access you, even when you are in the church. Number one, disobedience. You can speak in tongues. You can jump in the church. You can dress nice. You can attend every service. But remember what I'm saying to you. Disobedience to God's word will always give Satan an access into you. And this is the reason why there is confusion. People that are going to church and all kinds of things are happening to them, that it is even confusing to the people of the world. That, so if these things are happening to the believers, then what is the use of going to church? Disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15, the Bible says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, he's talking to his people, the people of Israel, and he's telling them that if you disobey, you will open a door for destruction. How can Satan attack you in the church? One of the ways is disobedience. Not doing what God says you should do. God says, go and preach the word. You say, you will not preach the word. God says, invite people to church. You say, you will not do it. God says, pay your tithe. You say, you will not do it. Disobedience. God says, no sex before marriage. You say, you cannot wait. Disobedience. Some of us don't even read the Bible to know what God says we should do and shouldn't do. So we are continuously in disobedience. Always remember what I told you. Disobedience. No matter how you scream in the church, if you are living in disobedience, Satan has a window of opportunity in your life. And that's why some of us will go to church, you will feel the presence of God. When you go home in the night, demons come and beat you. You ask yourself, but why? You leave the prayer meeting and you feel the power. When you get home in the night, demons come and sleep with you. Then you say, but what is going on? Why is this thing happening to me? And many of you don't even speak. You don't tell anybody about it. You are quiet. You are just being tortured and tormented in secret. Ask yourself, which door is Satan using to attack me? How is he accessing me like this? It could be disobedience. It could be that there's disobedience in your life. There is something God says you should do that you are not doing. Or there's something God says you shouldn't do that you are doing. And that has given Satan an open door into your life. May God give you understanding. Amen. May God open your eyes to see, have I missed? Because that becomes the reason why you are not rising, even though you are in the church. Number two, ignorance. What you don't know, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5 verse 13 says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Captivity means somebody has held you hostage. You can't break free. And the reason why he is holding you hostage is because you have no knowledge. There's a scripture that has frightened me. As when the Lord gave me this scripture, I was very scared. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, brothers, consider the time of your calling. Amen? Amen. Not many of you were wise by human standards. God is telling us, look, when I called you, not many of you were wise when I called you. The problem is that many have remained in that state. When God called us, we were not wise. We didn't know much. And we have remained like that. You see, that is okay in the beginning. But God is not expecting us to remain in that state. In Luke 16 verse 8, he says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. They are wiser. They get things sorted quicker and better because they are wiser than the children of light. The children of light have remained in the state of their salvation. Please receive wisdom today.
Amen.
Break out of ignorance. Ignorance will always empower Satan to destroy you. Any day. What you don't know. And believers don't know much about marriage. And they want to get married. They don't know much about so many things. But they want to do those things. And now when they enter those things, Satan starts destroying the marriage. He starts destroying the children. He starts destroying the finances. Why? Because there's no knowledge of the thing you want to do. Just that alone becomes the reason why you're not rising. Last and the big one, covenants. This is the main one. Many of us have beaten the devil in terms of disobedience. We are following the Holy Spirit. And many of us have become clever. We learn and we know. But there's another big problem that has given Satan an open door. It's called covenants. Here now, I'm talking about ancestral agreements that were established years and years and years ago before you came into the picture. You just arrived today. Let me tell you something. My country is called Cameroon. Our land made agreements with the Portuguese years and years ago. I was not born. Do you know that those things are still standing till today? The people who made those agreements died long time ago. But an agreement is an agreement. This is probably the reason why Sister Stefania was in the church for 18 years. She loves God. She's worshiping God. But a spirit seems to have full control. It's funny. Why? Where does it enter? Oh, Pastor, but I've been obeying the word of God. Good. Oh, Pastor, I've been learning. I've been reading books. I've been listening to podcasts. I've been accumulating knowledge. Very good. But, Pastor, I'm still crippled. Covenants. Let me tell you something about Africa. from Cape to Cairo, Africa has served idols for millions of years. The great, 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 great ancestors of this continent made covenants with spirits for rain. They didn't know the living God. So they will say, we have planted the crops, there's no rain. And they'll go and enter into a covenant with a spirit. And they'll say, give us rain. We need rain. And the spirit will say, if I give you rain, what will you give me? And then they will say, no, if you give us rain, we will serve you. You will be our God. So in Africa, everywhere you go, you find gods. These ones worship this one, those ones worship that one. They see, they have made covenants long before you were born. And those covenants involve you and include you because you belong to a family. Now you came out of that family, and that family has covenants that are monitoring and supervising everybody in the family. Look, Psalm 106, verse 36 to 39. I'm almost done, don't worry. The Bible says, they served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. You see, they will go to worship these idols, not knowing that what they are doing, they are seeing a statue, and they think it's just a statue. But there's a demon behind that thing. And when they come to maybe offer food or ablutions and stuff, they don't know they are making agreements. It's a snare. A snare is something that is a trap. And unknown to them, they were sacrificing their children, their sons, and their daughters. They were giving these spirits access to the children. The Bible says, they pour out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. The land was polluted. Can I say today, certain families are polluted with the blood. Certain tribes are polluted with the blood. Certain families are polluted already. Long before you are born, there's already pollution. So by the time you come, you find that agreements have been made. Things have been decided. And these demons have arranged that in this family, okay, based on what I did for you a few years ago, in this family, the agreement is going to be that nobody gets married here. Nobody moves. Because demons specializes in oppression and limitation. They hate human beings. Anything they give you is to take something greater. I hope I'm preaching the word of God in an Alababa church. Yes, sir. Why are you not rising? A spirit crippled her. How did that spirit gain access? It could have gained access through your disobedience. It could have gained access through your ignorance. Or it could have gained access through a covenant that your forefathers established. That access, they have it now. In the name of Jesus, right where you are seated, begin to blast in tongues and begin to call on God's help and mercy. Father, have mercy on me against these spirits, against these covenants that I didn't even know about. They have been established and they are fighting me. Somebody is praying that prayer. Open your mouth and begin to pray that prayer. You are fighting things that never seem to go away. You are fighting spirits that never seems to go away. Some of you are fighting sexual sin, but you never seem to win. Why? There is a covenant. There is something that was done. Some of you are fighting poverty. You are working so hard, but you are always in lack. Why? There is a covenant. The land has been polluted. The land has been polluted. And if you don't rise, somebody is praying. Somebody is asking for mercy. Somebody is asking for mercy. An exemption. 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 In Jesus.
Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Take your seat. Listen to me. There are covenants. There are covenants. And this is the confusion of the believer. They will fast and pray for days. After the fasting, they fall into the same sin. Hey! They will make a decision. I will not smoke weed again. I'm delivered. Somebody will even lay hands on them. And then they will fall under the anointing. The moment they go home, the first thing they do before they even eat, they smoke weed. What is going on? You are under the influence of spirits that are supervising things in the family. Now you have come and you are saying you don't want it. I don't like leaving you in the air. I like concluding my things well. So I want to give you 4 things to do to break this thing. Please listen carefully. Number one, get born again. I know some of you came to church, you recited the sinner's prayer, but you don't even know what you're talking about. I'm saying, get born again. If you don't cross that first step, there's no hope for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, not in ABC, not in the church, not even in the pastor's house, or in the Mamuruti's house, or in the deaconess house, in the prophet's house, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's the condition. A lot of us are happy being in the church. We have no business being in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? All things. If you are really in Christ, all things will become new. But many people are not in Christ. They are in the church. They are in the church. So the first thing, be in Christ. Be born again. Secure yourself in God. Your first birth gave evil spirits right over you because you are from that lineage. Your second birth breaks their right over you because it connects you to the Spirit of God. Do you understand? This is not about I belong to this church. No, it's a very serious thing. Don't joke with born again. That step, if you joke with it, everything else. That's why many people, they joke with the first step and everything is a joke. Their whole life is a joke. Because the first step was a joke. It was never serious. Don't you know that Jesus told people, they said, we did this in your name. We did it. He said, I don't even know you. You were never in me. Huh? That first step is key. Number two, receive the Spirit of God. Because a lot of us are in the church, but we don't have the Holy Spirit. And we have accepted a life without the Holy Spirit. Then we turn around and wonder why demons are molesting us, left, right, and center. 1 Corinthians 2:12, the Bible says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Spirit which is from God, from God, from God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't sit in the church. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You are not speaking in tongues. You are not growing in the Spirit life. And you are okay.
You are just okay being there. Listen, you must have the influence of a spirit. If it is not the Holy Spirit, it is an evil spirit. But you can never be neutral. You can never be neutral. That's what you should know. Number three, after you are born again, are you following the steps I'm giving you?
Yes.
You are born again in Christ. Number two, you have received the Spirit of God that you can sense things are changing in you. You can feel yourself, I'm becoming a different person. The fruit of the Spirit, like joy, love, patience, those things are beginning to develop in you. You can sense that the fruit of the Spirit is at work. If you are not sensing such things, brother, sister, review the position. Number three, seek deliverance. Now, I know many have been told, no, once you are in the church, everything is fine. You know, Jesus has forgiven your sins. Like the first scripture I used, all things have become new. All things have become new in the spirit, for your spirit being. But all things have not become new in your actual life. If you check, you will see that many things are still the same. Seek deliverance. Seek and receive deliverance. Don't joke with it. Understand that some of the things that are there. Listen, for 18 years, a pastor was preaching in front of this woman. This Mazifenaya lady. The spirit didn't budge. In fact, the spirit was enjoying the messages. Another day, another preacher entered the place. And that was the end of that spirit. Seek deliverance. Seek. The Bible says Jesus saw her. Even though she was not making noise, I believe deep down her heart, she wanted to be free. That's why Jesus saw her. That's why Jesus saw her. Do you want to be free, or you have accepted this thing that I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm going to be a Christian who still does this. I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm going to be a Christian who does this, who is like this. I'm going to be, when you read the Bible is so different from your experience. Seek deliverance, my brother. Not everything goes away by counseling. Certain things, demons must be cast out. I said demons must be cast out. And I'm expecting a lot of you to go for deliverance, to start coming on prayer for Fridays, and we're going to start casting out those demons out of your life. They must be cast out of your life. Listen to this amazing scripture, Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17. But on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Now, what is Mount Zion? Mount Zion is the church. The Bible says, on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. So the house of God is a place of deliverance. And there shall be holiness. Then he goes on to say, the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Do you understand? You cannot possess your possessions until there's been deliverance. Because your possessions are held by a spirit. Your rising is held by a demon. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession after there has been deliverance. Seek deliverance. How will you seek deliverance? Number one, through laying on of hands. Hands must be laid on you. Good hands. Don't allow just anybody to lay hands on you, because some people can even increase demons in you. Luke 13:13, then he put his hand on her. The story I read earlier. Jesus put his hand on her, and immediately she was straightened up. When a really anointed man of God places his hand on you, oh, chaos. So how will I seek my deliverance, Pastor? Number one, through laying on of hands. Number two, through listening of preaching. Brothers and sisters, my deliverance has come most of the time by listening of anointed messages. Wow.
And I want to prove it to you. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you see that? Just by you listening to the preaching of the gospel, poverty can leave you. When you listen to anointed preaching, demons of poverty can leave. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. As you are listening to anointed preaching, a broken heart can be healed. Now listen to the most dangerous one. To preach deliverance to the captives. Preach deliverance. Preach deliverance. So when I'm listening to preaching, I am listening to a deliverance section. So some captivity in me can be broken through the preaching. Like this preaching, if you listen to it many times, you'll be surprised. Many things will break in your life. Recovery of sight to the blind. You start seeing things. You start knowing things. Set at liberty them that are bruised. All of this by preaching. By preaching. So you can find deliverance by listening constantly. Some of you will listen 2 days, you stop. You listen 1 hour, then you listen again another month. You see, you can never be delivered like that. It has to become your daily bread, something you feed on constantly. You are constantly watching, constantly listening, and you are opening your heart. Not that you are listening to preaching and then you are watching other things. You are listening to preaching and then you are checking your pictures. Because it's possible for you to be listening to podcasts while you are on your pictures. Or listening, checking the pictures of your beloved, your girlfriend. And you are thinking you'll be delivered. He has distracted you from the deliverance. How can I find deliverance, Pastor? Number three, pray in the night. Pray in the night. I'm not just saying pray. You see, when you just pray, you are praying. But when you want deliverance, there are certain things you must do. If you want deliverance, pray in the night. Yeah. Psalm 55 verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and you shall hear my cry. Let me tell you something. This is going to change your whole life forever. In the natural world, we count a day from morning to evening, isn't it? In the spirit, is the reverse. In the spirit, a day does not start in the morning. A day ends in the morning. In the spirit, we don't say morning and evening. That's why the psalmist doesn't say morning and evening. He says evening and morning. Because in the spirit, the day starts in the night. Genesis 1:5, God called the light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and morning the first day. There was evening and morning the first day. So in the spirit, we don't count morning and evening. You are doing it here. And that is the lie Satan sold us, so that we don't know how things are done. So that we never understand the spiritual connection behind things. So in the night, we sleep. And the day we wake up. Meanwhile, when you wake up, they go to sleep. They have already worked your whole thing. And I want to prove it to you. Matthew 13, verse 25. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weed among the wheat and left. While men were sleeping, his enemy came. So while they were sleeping, he's on duty. Never forget what I've just taught you. In the spirit, the day is not day and night. It's night and day. And there was evening and morning the first day. So day is evening and morning. So if you want to change the day, start working at the night. Because the day is birthed by the night. When you start your day, it has already been worked while you are sleeping. And that's why it's so hard to pray at night. Because Satan doesn't want you to pray at night. He wants you to sleep at night so he can wake. Most of your problems are started in the night. Most of them. Most of the complications in your life came through the night when you were asleep. When your parents were asleep, they didn't even know God. He complicated things. So I want deliverance. Start praying at night. There's a sister I taught this secret. She started praying and now she told me, Pastor, the first night I prayed, I started seeing pythons in my dreams. And I said, you see, all those things were there all along. But you didn't know. Now you are disturbing them. I see you waking up at night. Listen, even if it's just for 15 minutes, if you can just do it every day even just 15 minutes, you can pray at night for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And you do it consistently. They say the key is consistency. And that's all. Yeah, I said to you, pray at night for 1 hour. I know I'm wasting my time. You will never do it. But I'm saying, start 15 minutes. Do your little tongue, 15 minutes, and sleep again. Tomorrow, do it again. You will see you get 30 minutes. And before you realize, your day life is going to start changing. In the name of Jesus Christ, give the Lord a hand of praise, somebody. How can I be delivered? Combine prayer with fasting. Combine prayer with fasting. Matthew 17, verse 21. However, this kind goes not except by prayer and fasting. So many believers do not do these things I'm talking about. They just want a man of God to lay hands on them. But to secure your deliverance, you need to do the things I'm teaching. Lastly, pray for long hours in the spirit. Long hours. Isaiah 40, verse 21. But those who wait on the Lord. You see, waiting means you stay there for a while. For a while, you are there. You are there for a while. 1 hour, you are waiting. 2 hours, you are waiting. You are praying. Those who wait on the Lord. Look at what happens to them. They renew their strength. And look at what starts happening next. Mount up. Isn't that rising? What do you call that? You mount up. I didn't know that you can rise by waiting. You are just waiting, but you are rising. The mathematics of God are amazing. You are in your room, waiting there, and as you are in your room, you are rising. Then look at what starts happening next. They run. Have you seen somebody running while waiting? It's interesting. Like, you are not in motion, yet you are in motion. You are waiting, yet you are running. You are in one place, yet you are moving in other places because they that wait run. You think you need to run to run. No, you need to wait to run. Because when you wait, then you start running. When you come out of that room, you are never at the place where when you enter that room. You are never at the same level, and you are never moving at the same pace. There's speed. Prayer generates speed. You start going faster.
by waiting longer. More you wait, the faster you are going. Even if it was going to take 3 years, if you waited long enough, it happens in 3 weeks. This is how deliverance starts coming. When you start up, these are real things to do, my friend. I'm not talking about jokes. Wait! Then they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. You walk. You walk. You are no more sitting. All of this is motion. You are mounting up. You are running. You are walking. Not sitting, sleeping, snoring. No, I'm running. I'm mounting. I'm walking. And all of that is the result of waiting. 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 Waiting for hours. You are in one place, yet you are in many places. Receive the grace to wait in the name of Jesus. Receive the grace to wait in the name of Jesus. That was how to find deliverance. Now, let me give you the last step to break. Number four, serve God faithfully. Number one, be born again. Number two, receive the Spirit of God. Number three, seek and receive deliverance. And I've given you steps on how to receive deliverance. Then, now, number four, serve God. Don't just be a spectator in God's house. To break these demons that are holding you down, get into the service of God. Now, that's my last verse, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. The Bible says, so you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water. Then it goes on to say, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage. Didn't want to say miscarriage. You were carrying a dream, the dream fell. You have to start again. This person can never rise. You miscarry everything you do, or you miscarry everything you carry. He says, if you serve me, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in the land. In other words, there's no fruit, there's no result. People that are barren, excuse me to use the word, they are having sex, but there's no baby. They are working hard, but there's nothing to show. Barrenness has hit. They are moving around, but there's nothing to show. Then lastly, I will fulfill the number of your days. In other words, you don't become eliminated before your time. No matter where that thing has hidden itself, you will rise this month.
Amen.
You will rise. If you can just dare to apply what you are learning. Every spirit that is responsible for any area of slowness, limitation, stagnation, frustration, persecution, oppression in your life this month, by the Spirit of God, I decree a judgment on it now. Thank you, Father. Please let us all be on our feet this morning, and I want you to begin to thank God for His word that has come to heal you, that has come to deliver you, that has come to restore you. Please let this word touch you. Don't be entertained. We are not here to entertain people. We are here to help people change levels. Stop accepting the condition you have accepted. Your problem is that you have accepted something that should not be acceptable. That is where the problem is beginning. Is that you have accepted that in this family, nobody will drive a car. That's why you don't even dream of such things. You don't think of such things. You don't see yourself owning a house. You don't see yourself having a life. You are just accepting that I will always stay in my parents' house. Who told you that your parents' house is your house? I see you rising. I see you rising. Come on, everybody, begin to pray right now. Begin to call on the Lord. Begin to call on the Lord, somebody. You cannot relax where you are. Because where you are is not what God wants for you. That is not God's best for you. Accepting it is demoting your life. I have given you keys this morning by the Spirit of God. Ask God for grace to totally apply them until something breaks in your life. Wherever those demons are hiding, by the word that came this morning, the light of God is going to strike them. They cannot hide forever. Shapa debre shika pakodamanda. Je te prekazuka de pekele manda. Mercy on us, Jesus. Mercy on us, Jesus. Mercy on us, Jesus. Mercy on your children, Jesus. 18 years of captivity. 20 years of slavery. 6 years of addiction. All kinds of things are going on in God's house. All kinds of limitations have been accepted, have been made normal. We have accepted them and we are living with them. No, we can rise. No, we can rise. Give us grace, Lord. Quickly this morning, you are listening to me preach and you are saying, Pastor, that first step is what I need. I'm not born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. Is that you? You are saying, Pastor, I want to be born again. I don't want to continue like this. I've been going to church, but I've never really taken that step. Quickly this morning, you are saying you want to give your life to Jesus. At the count of three, please raise your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. You want these curses to be broken? You want your life to change? You want Jesus to come into your heart the same way he touched this woman? You want him to touch your life? He is saying to you, come forward. Come forward. Come from that place where you are, and I'll help you. At the count of three, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3. Come on, raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to be born again. I want Jesus to enter my heart. I want to have a personal relationship with him. I don't want to deceive myself. I know I'm in the church, but am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Now, you can take your hands down. If you want to recommit your life to Jesus this morning, you are saying, Pastor, I want to come back to God. I can now see why my life is not moving. I need God in my life. At the count of three, please raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand up. God bless you. Wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. Now, I want us to pray together. Please repeat these simple words after me. But say them from the bottom of your heart. If you are ready for change, if you are ready to rise, just say this word. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins and the sins of my parents that were committed long before I was born. Father, please forgive us. Wash me this morning with your precious blood. Without your blood, I'm condemned. But with your blood, I'm set free. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Change my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I open my heart. Come into my heart, Father. Change everything. Give me a new life with a brand new future. In the name of Jesus Christ, from today, I will follow you. I will love you. I will serve you. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you.
please drop us a comment in the comment section to tell us how this message has helped you. Remember also to subscribe to receive notifications on our latest sermons. You can also watch Pastor Pascal live every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. on our church Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ. Or you can worship with us live in one of our branches in Sun City, Macharora, Padzima, Mukwase, Lidach, Rustenburg, and beyond. Have a blessed day, and remember, we are alive to give life.